Hello and welcome back to another episode of 321 Go Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Scanlon. Before we get on with today's show, I want to let you know that starting at the beginning of May, our focus at 321 Go Project will be marketing. We've created a three-month marketing template in our hub platform. So I'd encourage you, if you're listening to this episode and it is not May 1st yet, head over to the 321goproject.com/hub. You can sign up for a 7-day free trial, and you can lock in your ongoing monthly hub price to $79 a month. That will be going up on May 1st. So if you're listening to this before May 1st, head over there, claim that 7-day free trial. You can tool around in hub. You can cancel it before that 7-day free trial is up. But I think if you follow along with our 3-month marketing curriculum, you will certainly make back your monthly cost plus a ton more. So again, 321goproject.com/hub to claim your 7-day free offer. This week on the podcast, we're joined by Chris Marhefka and Wade Swikle. Wade and Chris are co-hosts of the Attain Anything podcast. You can go to attainanything.com and learn a little bit more about them. Chris is actually one of our mastermind, our M3 mastermind group leaders. He is the owner and founder of B3 Gym in Gainesville, Florida. He is the co-founder of Eat the 80, a healthy meal delivery company. And Wade is the founder of Moving Solutions. He employs over 60 people in Gainesville and Tampa. And both of these guys are rock star entrepreneurs. We ask the question, and these guys on their podcast every week ask the same question: is entrepreneurship genetic, or can entrepreneurship be learned? So these are some of the things that we explore in today's episode. Again, find these guys on the Attain Anything podcast, attainanything.com. Enjoy the show, and we'll see you next week. But cool, let's get rolling. Welcome, listeners, to this week's episode of 321 Go Podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and we're joined by two awesome dudes. Before I introduce you guys, I have a confession that I need to make to both the audience and to you guys publicly. This morning, I woke up before my alarm went off, and my head popped off the pillow, and I was immediately excited for this interview, and I started making notes. And anybody that's ever podcasted with me knows that I never make notes. I never prepare for anything. But after the last interview that the three of us did together, I had just a list of things that I wanted to press you guys on. So without any further ado, let's introduce these guys. So we're joined by Chris Marhefka. Chris is a repeat guest on the show. He is a leader of one of our 321 Go Project masterminds. Not only is he doing that, but he is also the co-host of the Attain Anything podcast. He is the founder of B3 Gym in Gainesville, Florida, co-founder of Eat the 80, which is a meal delivery service in Florida. And most recently, he is one of the two featured trainers on a new cable series, Altered. So, Chris, welcome to the show, my man.
Matt, thank you so much for having me back on. I love this.
Sweet. All right. Also with us from this cafe in Tampa, we are also joined by Wade Swikle. Wade is the founder of Smarter Moving Solutions, LLC, the parent company to two college brothers. Wade is also a co-host of the Attain Anything podcast. So, Wade, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Greetings here from beautiful, sunny Tampa, Florida. I'm excited to be on.
So, I don't want to have much small talk here, so I really want to get into some serious stuff with you guys. I want to start it off with this. I was reading your biographies, and I noticed that when I looked at your education, both of you have a somewhat formal education in business. Wade has a master's degree in entrepreneurship, and Chris has a bachelor's of science in business administration, specialization in finance, minor in entrepreneurship. I want to start the discussion off with this. Wade, I'm going to throw it to you first. What are some ways that your formal education in entrepreneurship has both formed your skills as an entrepreneur, and where did you see that formal education lacking?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something that I get asked quite a bit, actually. A lot of people say, like, I thought you didn't even need to go to college to become an entrepreneur. What good does a degree in entrepreneurship mean for a business? Because a lot of people like to say, like, you can't teach entrepreneurship, or, you know, that college is just to be able to get a job somewhere. But I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I don't regret any of my college experience. My original bachelor's degree was actually in telecommunications, so that's kind of part of the reason I have this passion for podcasting and love to be doing this sort of a thing. And I originally went to school to be a journalist, a broadcast journalist, a TV reporter, something along those lines, potentially something to do with radio. And about halfway through that program, I got kind of burnt out on it. I realized that's not the direction I wanted to go with my life, but I was already so far along that I was like, well, I might as well finish out and just, you know, see where it goes and get the degree, and we'll see what happens with that. And it was about that time I took an entrepreneurship class. It was like journalism entrepreneurship. And I previously, for the last couple of summers, I had kind of been running my own little business all throughout, you know, school. Since the time I was in like second grade, I was always trying to come up with little businesses. And that's about the time it clicked for me that my passion really was business, and it was entrepreneurship. And so when it came time to graduate, I did the only logical thing in my mind, and that was apply to go to grad school, just keep it going. I was having a good time in college, but also I wanted to do something a little bit more along the business path. And fortunately, the University of Florida had a master's degree in entrepreneurship program, and I got accepted into it. And part of that program, kind of the thesis to that program, was to start a business. And the business that I ended up starting was the little passion business that I had been doing to pay, you know, my bills and my bar tabs in college, and that was helping people move. And so what I decided to do was start the Smarter Moving Solutions as I started my master's in entrepreneurship program. And I had no background in finance like Chris did. I had never taken an accounting class. I had never taken a finance class or a sales class or a business law class or anything like that. So I really had no formal background. I mean, both my parents were in the school system, so they had some small business ventures here and there, but they didn't really have that in-depth knowledge that I was looking for. And so the entrepreneurship master's program really helped me develop some of those fundamentals. I learned what a cash ledger was. I learned, you know, basics in accounting, and I learned the importance of sales, and I learned what a venture capitalist was, and a lot of different things that, you know, enabled me to kind of speak the language of business. And, you know, a lot of the kids in my class, I think I'm the only kid in that program that actually today still owns a business. A lot of those kids were just doing it to get jobs, and some of them got very good jobs out of it. Some of them tried to start businesses in the program and didn't end up working out, or it wasn't their passion, or whatever the case may be. But some of them work for Google or Apple or some big companies these days, which is very cool. And a lot of them became entrepreneurs, you know, entrepreneurs inside of an organization. But I'm proud to say that I am, you know, still in business, still kicking, still thriving. And I do attribute a lot of that back to that program with those fundamentals. But more so than anything, probably just the connections that I was able to establish in undergrad and also in my master's program. I still keep in touch with a lot of professors that I had who were seasoned business executives and professionals, and they allow mentorship for me, and I can bounce ideas off of them. Or if I have a question, I can shoot them an email at any time. And even though some of them are now retired, like, they'll immediately respond to my emails. So I think just building that network and getting some of the fundamentals have really helped me achieve, you know, the path that I'm on today.
Well, certainly. And it sounds to me like you've really capitalized on the resources available to you through that program. So I want to come back, Wade, to something you said about how the vast majority of the people that were in that program no longer own a business. But I want to open that up for discussion for the group. So, but first I want to throw the same question to you, Chris. What are some ways that your formal education in business and finance has served you? And do you see some areas where that was potentially lacking, that it didn't prepare you for certain aspects of entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So my journey to college was one of really, there weren't too many other choices. When I graduated high school, we had this program in Florida called Bright Futures, actually paid for my entire college. And so my choice coming out of high school was really, in my mind, in my family's mind, it was college, or actually for me, I did have a draw to the military. And so I did get a hard push toward the college direction, and that's what ended me up at the University of Florida. Very similar to Wade, I do not regret a minute of my college experience. I don't regret going. I don't regret the 4 years that I spent there. In fact, I think I learned a lot outside of the classroom, similar to how Wade explained, built relationships, learned a true sense of responsibility as an adult, and then also the idea of choices and the consequences that come of them, which I think is an important lesson for anyone, but especially an entrepreneur. It's like the idea of, if I can go out to the bar tonight when I have a test the next morning, or I can stay in and study. Like, those are the conflicts that you're presented with when you're finally out of the house, out of your, under your parents' wing. And really, when it came to the business degree, I think it was funny. I really ended up in business because I didn't have a strong drive toward any particular trade or passion. It was just like the general thing that was presented to me.
So just kind of fill us in. What did that experience ultimately give you as a strategic advantage now? And what are some things that you had to learn that you necessarily didn't gain from that college experience?
Well, I think the answer to the latter is a lot. I think there's a huge gap in the theory of business and the doing of business. And I think that the formal education system prepares people more for career jobs than it absolutely does for entrepreneurship. And what I mean by that is, even though my degree in finance had me reading financials, it was to be the CFO of a Fortune 500 company and not necessarily a small business. And so while those things did help and I think gave me a strong advantage, just being comfortable with just using Excel and reading a balance sheet, I still think there is a lot to be learned. And it's a different, what is similar, it's very, very different than when you're doing financials for yourself in your own business and there's consequences to the decisions you make, than the theory of looking at it and doing a homework assignment. So I go back and forth because I'm not incredibly passionate about the conversation of education, because what I tell people is, look, if you have a calling to go to college, great, go to college. If you don't, then don't. But either way, you can be a successful college graduate or you can be a successful high school dropout. Like, we see both of them all the time. The difference is in the execution after the fact. And so it's, did you be a high school dropout and then just go chill on the couch and, I don't know, smoke weed and watch reruns? Or did you go out and hustle and sell and start your own business and grow it from the ground up from $0 in your pocket? That's a different story. In the same way, we could have the same conversation about someone who went to college. I just think that going to college is not an excuse to not go out and hustle. Going to college is not an excuse for seeking out your dream job and always pursuing and always getting better. It's not a invitation to get comfortable. I think it's just an invitation to open the doors to other opportunities that you wouldn't otherwise have if you didn't do it. So I think that it's a decision that needs to be made. More and more people are going to college, but I think more and more people are dissatisfied with their jobs. And so maybe it's correlated, maybe not. I don't think it's necessary. As an entrepreneur, part of me, I don't regret a thing about college. Part of me is like, damn, I wish I started 4 years earlier. I was like, I wish I had that 4 years to go. But at the same time, I literally met my best friends. I met my now wife through the University of Florida. And so, and I did gain a lot of great relationships and I did learn a lot. I grew a lot as a person. I had some leadership roles that helped me today. So great experience. Really an individual decision, though.
So you both brought up interesting points that, Chris, you confirmed something that Wade said. Wade, you had mentioned that of the class that you graduated with your master's in entrepreneurship, there are very few, if not any, that still own a business. And Chris, you had kind of mentioned the same thing, that your education prepared you to be the CFO of a Fortune 500 company. The word that Wade used was intrapreneur. And so what is it then? What is it about entrepreneurship that Wade, you know, nobody from your class is still owning a business? Chris, you had mentioned that your education really not preparing you for the emotional aspect of, you know, not playing with house money, for lack of a better term. So, Wade, I want to throw it to you. Why do you think that the majority of your class is now working somewhere else?
That's a great question. I think, and this is something on our podcast we ask a lot of our guests, is do you think being an entrepreneur is genetic, or do you think it's something that can be learned? And to be completely honest, I think that especially in something like an entrepreneurship master's program, the draw of a lot of true entrepreneurs, genetic entrepreneurs, to a master's program is kind of counterintuitive, because they want to get out there and start doing stuff without, you know, spending money on more education. I mean, even if they've identified themselves as an entrepreneur and they've done a, you know, 4-year college program or whatever the case may be, I think a lot of the people in my class maybe weren't quite true entrepreneurs. They might have liked the word. They might have thought it was a sexy, you know, thing because of all the startups and all the potential money that could be made. And some of them may have just wanted to go and work for a startup and thought that having an entrepreneurial master's degree on the resume would be of interest to another entrepreneur that might want to hire them. I think that it definitely takes a certain personality type, somebody who is can be risk averse, somebody who is a visionary. I've done the StrengthsFinder, and futuristic was one of my personal traits. And I think that that can be a somewhat of a requirement to be an entrepreneur, is thinking about, you know, the big picture, the future, wanting to build something. I think that's the draw. Not everybody has that character trait, which is fine. I think it's important for people to identify what character traits they have and follow a career path that aligns with those in order to be happy. But I just think that people who probably go down that track are constantly being kind of directed by friends and family and just the social norms to get a job. And I don't know. I think that even if they have an interest in entrepreneurship, kind of like what Chris said, is it takes a tremendous amount of action to be an entrepreneur. Like, you have to do a lot of self-educating and figuring things out that takes a lot of effort. And you have to, I guess, just want to accomplish a vision and build something in order to spur that action. One of the things that I did like about college is you learn how to learn. And whether it's cramming for a test or trying to figure out how to get the answer to some kind of an equation, I think that those skills that you pick up in college can definitely translate over into your business. And if there's one thing I do regret, it's not, I guess, developing those types of habits of starting to study for exams, you know, several months out, waiting till the last minute, because I've had to redevelop those habits and relearn a lot of those preparedness habits in my entrepreneurial journey. I think that's where the true learning has developed, though, is after I left those programs, because I've had to teach myself a lot of those things and take a lot of massive action in order to try and work closer to getting to my vision. And a lot of people don't want to do that, or it's not in their character arsenal to do stuff like that. So that's why I think a lot of people shy away from becoming full-time, full-fledged entrepreneurs.
I wrote down something that you said, Wade, is the marker of a true entrepreneur is they're excited by action and self-education. These are themes that I actually was writing about this morning that I want to circle back around to. But first, Chris, to you, what, back to that theme of, you know, you you felt you were prepared for one thing, but that you actually get involved in entrepreneurship and the feelings and emotions you have around it are something potentially entirely different. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as an entrepreneur, I think that it takes a little bit of crazy. So I think there's something that's inherently not normal to do. It's essentially we're giving up something comfortable to potentially work less hours for a more consistent income, to trade that, to risk everything for something that we really have no idea is going to pan out. So there's a little bit of craziness there. I also think there's a degree to entrepreneurship. So I do believe that you can be an entrepreneur and still have a job. I do believe that you can have a side hustle and still be a brain surgeon or whatever it is. I think that there's absolutely a difference between myself and like a Jeff Bezos or something. There are extreme entrepreneurs that it just flows through their blood. And I think there's others that are conditioned. I think there's a few characteristics that need to be there. And we were just talking about this the other day. My belief is that one of the most important, where I think a lot of people struggle, is their confidence in their own abilities. That is such a tough thing to talk about, because what you're really saying is, I'm going to bet everything on myself. Me, and for me, but also potentially my family, my future, all of this time committed, you're just betting on your ability to do what you're saying you're going to do. And that's a lot, and that's hard for people. So I think that is I think that's actually conditioned. So every time you do something that you say you're going to do, that's confidence. Everything time you do something that you didn't think you can do, that's confidence. And that's why I really love our gym setting, is because you get to see that in the physical way every single day. And I think those little things build people up a lot. I think I was fortunate enough to have enough of those early on. So when college happened and then a job happened, I had the confidence to quit that job to start up my own little hustle, even though it meant taking a massive pay cut and huge risk and just starting from literally nothing. And so I think that characteristic absolutely has to be there in some degree.
A question that I've been asking myself a lot lately, as you know, Chris, as you know, you lead one of our masterminds. You talk with a lot of entrepreneurs in the fitness space. You're in it, right? You talk to a lot of these people. Over the last year, I've been asking myself this question. What is the difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner? What is the difference between those people? I can't quite formulate a thought around it, but it's one of those things, like, when you see it, you know it, right? First, I could just feel it. Like, I talked to you guys, and I was just, as I was preparing for this interview, I was just writing thoughts that I had about the last time that I was on your podcast. And I got to thinking, all right, Chris and Wade are entrepreneurs. They just happen to be making money doing fitness. They just happen to be making money right now doing moving. Like, and I think that that's it. You know, that's the difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner, is at this time, this is how I'm making money. Maybe later I won't be making money doing this thing, but I will be making money. I will be signing my own checks. No matter what I'm doing, I'll be signing my own checks. Right now, that just happens to be moving. That just happens to be fitness. So another thing that I came around to is not only that statement, I just happen to be making money doing fill in the blank right now, but an entrepreneur is excited at the thought of a blank page. Again, I keep coming back around to this idea. There are people that see a blank page, that wake up Monday morning and don't have anybody telling them what to do, and they're overwhelmed by that. They're like, I want somebody to just tell me exactly what to do with my life. I feel an entrepreneur at that limitless possibility is excited. They tend to bite off more than they can chew on Monday because they love this blank page idea. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Wade, to you, in your mind, what is the difference between an entrepreneur and a business owner?
Well, I think you can certainly be both. I kind of have to be both. But I think that business owners tend to have a much more narrower mindset. Maybe it was something, you know, maybe it was something that was a family business. Maybe it's like a restaurateur or somebody who essentially wants to create a job for themselves. I think an entrepreneur, by the sense of the word, has a bigger vision, something that they want to work towards, something they want to build. A business owner may not necessarily want to build something. They may just want to maintain something. You know, they may like writing their own check at the end of the day, but they don't have any desire to go out and roll the dice and bet it all, or they may not want to work any harder than they already are. One of the reasons I'm currently down in Tampa right now is because we have people that are in our business that are intimidated by what you said, having that blank sheet of paper in front of them. They need a to-do list. They need something to do. And it seems to not be the right fit, because I think requires an entrepreneur, somebody to have a vision down here to grow this part of the business. I think the entrepreneur is more focused on growing a business, where a business owner is more of a managerial mindset and maintaining the business at the level that it's currently at. I mean, you can be a very good business owner, but not a very good entrepreneur. You probably lean a little bit more towards the management side, and that's fine if the business has already grown to a level that you want. But you see the same thing in major companies. I mean, there's certain CEOs that are very good at growing a business from 0 to 50 employees, and then they're not good at growing the business from 50 to 250 employees. So companies will bring in a new CEO, and then they'll bring in another new CEO when it gets to be over 250 employees, because there's certain people with certain skill sets for different sizes of businesses. And sometimes entrepreneurs don't even make good CEOs. I mean, I've read several articles of very successful entrepreneurs who have built massive businesses, but they fired themselves from their own companies because they're not good at managing the people and doing the marketing and stuff like that. They have this vision, but they don't necessarily make the best managers or even CEOs of an organization. So I think an entrepreneur doesn't necessarily have to be involved in a business. I think a business owner, to your point, tends to be a little bit more involved in the business and take on, lean more towards that managerial side.
What I really like about what you said, Wade, is this idea of knowing oneself, knowing what type of business am I best suited to grow, 0 to 50, 50 to 200. I think having a little bit of self-awareness is a theme that I notice in talking with both of you. It's something that I feel right away every time we start having a conversation. So I want to explore that theme a little bit. But first, Chris, to you, in your mind, what is the difference here between a business owner and entrepreneur?
Yeah, that was actually something I was going to get into, because I don't think there's inherently anything positive or negative about either one, for that matter. I think that it's more about knowing where you're best suited, where your strengths lie. I see the entrepreneur is again a little bit of that crazy, and it's always looking for opportunities. It's developing things and starting from a blank slate. I see the business owner as the structure behind that. So it's very common to have a great entrepreneurial mind, but a terrible business owner mind. And those are the people that you see are constantly starting and never really getting to that success point to where they built organizations. And on the flip side, there's an entire model in this country that's designed around business ownership without entrepreneurship. It's the franchise model. It's here's the structure, run it. I think that's incredibly positive for a lot of people. They get the opportunity to be a business owner, but don't necessarily have to have as much of that develop from nothing. Because even at that level, you're kind of being told what to do every day. I think that obviously the ones that we talk about are generally good at both. They've learned the skills associated with business ownership, but they also have the mind of an entrepreneur to where they see stuff that no one else sees. And that's really the way that I think about it for myself, is that business owner, I learn tools and tactics and things to make my business machine run better, for our customers, for our employees. And it's the structure within these walls or whatever our organization is. As an entrepreneur, It's my inability to turn my brain off, because everywhere I go, I'm looking at ways to do it better and seeing opportunities in just about anything. I can't go anywhere without like noticing things. And I think that is the entrepreneur piece right there.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. I think that that is a great marker. I'll go to like a bar, like my wife and I'll go to a bar and sit at a bar and have a glass of wine. And my head is immediately like, what can I steal from this place to make a fitness experience better? It never stops. And I think
Matt,
that
I'm right there with you. It's all the time. Like I recognize like to the point to where like I've often told, like I've asked to like talk to the manager and like told him about things, or like things are doing really well. And I'm like, oh man, that is awesome. Like how can we do that in our bathrooms? Like this little like writing on the mirror, like things like that I'm pulling from like restaurants. And yeah.
Oh, I'm constantly taking pictures. I see like Wade is nodding his head. He's like, you know, so here's a question. I'm going to assume, Wade, you're familiar with the business model that Chris and I are part of. I'm talking about CrossFit Affiliates. I'm just assuming that you guys have talked about it a little bit, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I want to throw an idea, because this is our audience. Our audience are all business owners. I want to wrap up part one of our show talking about this. We've had all of these high-level discussions about entrepreneurship, what makes an entrepreneur, what excites an entrepreneur. And I'll frame it this way. If you buy into a franchise for, let's say, $1 million, $2 million, or hell, even 250 grand, let's say that's your buy-in for a franchise, that model almost pre-selects people that are ready to take on the risk and are betting. I'm guessing if you're putting down $1 million for a franchise, you're betting the farm on yourself, that confidence that you were talking about, Chris. Chris and I, on the other hand, are, and I'm not saying one model is better than the other. On the other hand, Chris and I are part of a business model that doesn't necessarily pre-select entrepreneurial minds at the beginning, because the barrier to entry is fairly low. So, I mean, realistically speaking, for probably 10 grand, you can start a CrossFit affiliate. So we often see a lot of times that people start this thing either because they're really excited about the product itself, so they're passionate about the product. They start it because maybe they are more of a managerial mind than an entrepreneurial mind. Maybe they were a member of a gym that they don't feel was managed well, so they say, I can manage this better myself. Or that third person maybe is super entrepreneurial and is like, I've got 10 million ideas and I want to do it all with this gym, but they don't necessarily have the business owner side of their mind that can follow through and execute on that. So I'm willing to bet that of our listeners, there are a few out there that have found them in a situation where they're overwhelmed by the blank page. They really struggle with follow through and execution. They really need somebody to just tell them what to do tomorrow. And they may be asking themselves, like, shit, how did I end up here? I did not sign up for this. This is, but I don't know an exit strategy if I want to exit. I don't know how to make it better. So let's start off this way. Have you guys ever found yourselves in a situation where you had that oh shit moment? Is this what I really intended? And then what advice would you have for our listeners if they're currently finding themselves in one of these situations? So Wade, I'm going to throw it to you first. Any thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody who is in business for themselves or considers himself an entrepreneur knows the highs and lows of the roller coaster that is entrepreneurship. There's days where you just feel terrible and you sometimes, whatever happens, maybe you lost a client or something went wrong or your employees didn't show up or whatever the case may be. And you just think to yourself, like, what am I doing? Like, how did I get myself into this? But then there's those days where there's a victory. Maybe you win an award or you get a raving review from a client and they talk about how much you helped them solve a problem. And those are the days that make you feel so good about it. I think that everybody's going to have those highs and lows when they're in business. One of the best things that I've done that has helped me the most, and this was recommended to me by my mentor, is to look at other businesses in your industry that have succeeded or that have been around for a long time that are at the level that you want to get to, and just pick up the phone and call them. I think that just picking somebody's brain who has done what you are trying to do can answer so many questions and help you get through any of the tough situations, because chances are they've been there. He even recommends flying out to visit them and see their facilities and see how they, what a day in their life is like. And every entrepreneur knows that no 2 days are the same, but see how things are operating and try and get some ideas. Kind of going back to your other point, I listen to other audiobooks and read other books and profile other businesses so that I can try and see what's making their business tick and read between the lines on how I can apply that to my business. And, one of the ones that pop into my mind is the millionaire real estate agent. I pulled a lot of really good lessons out of real estate agents, how they operate and grow their businesses that I can directly apply to my business. Doesn't necessarily have to be exactly in your industry, but you can gain a lot of insight, whether it's pricing, managing, marketing, whatever the case may be, just by picking up the phone and calling other people. And people will talk about it. Even sometimes your direct competitors in your market will talk about it. And I think that that's really healthy and a great path to follow, and just modeling those models.
I couldn't agree more. I want to echo that sentiment, Wade, because I think it's fascinating that your suggestion was, hey, fly out there, watch them, check this business out. I think, Chris, if somebody said, hey, man, I want to just come be in your gym for 3 days. I want to do a long weekend in Gainesville. I want to come to your gym, follow you around with a notebook, just see what you're doing, see how you run your staff meetings, see how your classes run. I would be all about it. Come do it. One of the most interesting experiences I had is that a guy emailed me. He wanted to have a meeting. He showed up with coffee and asked me questions for an hour. Totally fun. I really enjoyed the experience. And this isn't even to say that I know everything or have all the answers, but you're probably, all right, let's say that a flight costs you at most anywhere around the country, $700, right? Hotel room, stay in a cheap hotel room, that's $100. Like, let's say you're all in on this excursion for $1,000. What can you turn that $1,000 into? You probably turn that into $100,000 if you took notes. Where else are you going to see a 100 times return on investment? So I think that if there's a takeaway from what Wade just said, gym owners out there listening, if we're describing these feelings of entrepreneurship, and maybe you find yourself in a technician role and you're frustrated by it, or you don't see an end in sight, email somebody. Pick up the phone, call them, just go visit, and if there's a gym that you think is really cool, go hang out in that gym. Like we said, I go to a bar with my wife to get a glass of wine, and I'm like, what can I steal from these guys today? Go to a gym, steal from them. It's awesome. I think the owner would be flattered. Chris is like nodding his head. Absolutely, do it. Sorry, you just got me like freaking fired up if you couldn't tell,
Wade. I love it.
So Chris, I want to ask you that same question. If a gym owner or business owner is listening to this now and they're like, yeah, those tendencies of entrepreneurship, that's not me. I'm overwhelmed. I'm freaked out. What do you do?
Yeah, and I think that's generally the case. If they're listening to this podcast, it's almost like the too late moment, right? It's like, I'm in this now. Now what? And I liken it. I've started thinking about this. I just spent the weekend with some friends that have kids, and I think in a small way, the idea of, and I don't have kids yet, so I can't say firsthand, but starting a business is a lot like having a kid. And there's a lot of positives, and probably if you look at most people, they'll say they were really happy that they did it. And there's, when they were grown up and gone, it's the best thing that they've ever done. And I think starting a business is very similar in a lot of those ways. But you know what though? It's an 18-year commitment or maybe more of a lot of sucky days. And you know what's not awesome is not getting sleep. And what's not awesome is dealing with a lot of drama or dealing with issues or dealing with picking your kid up out of jail one morning because he got too rowdy at the ball, whatever it may be, is like there's a lot of suck to what we do every day. And if you're not prepared for that in your mind, I think that's the biggest issue, is that a lot of people set up for sunshine and rainbows thinking of like, oh, look at so-and-so after 20 years and they're living the life. And they miss every day of their first 5 years, every day of their first 10 years, and everywhere in between. It really never gets easy. And I think if you're going into it thinking it's going to be easy, you're already setting yourself up for failure. And so if you're in the middle of it, I think something as simple as perspective does wonders for your own psyche. And really just recognizing that, hey, I'm in this. I've decided this is what I want to do. I can either move forward or I can choose to throw in the towel or get an exit strategy. Exit strategies do exist. They may not be what you intended, but if you're not prepared to shift that mindset and move forward, I think you do have to make some hard decisions. Fortunately and unfortunately, you talked about it, Matt, the business that we're in with CrossFit Affiliate is so easy to get into. The barriers to entry are so low. And that's why I think you do find a lot of people get caught in that situation. More importantly, though, is the people that are there and do want to push forward. There is always hope. There is always a corner you can turn. And fortunately, it is generally small things repeated over time that's going to be the difference between you getting out of that hole and you succeeding and not. And so I'm very much a fan of learning from others. Wade talked about reading. You talked about dropping in, visiting other people, always looking for opportunities to get better. I think it's everywhere around us. And I mean, you talked about it with the mastermind. The mastermind is just a very simple way for you to connect with other people all across the world or all across the country. They're doing the exact same thing that you're doing, but you're not directly competing with them, which is exactly what that on-site gym visit is. And I would encourage both of them, because you will learn that, A, you'll learn that everyone has those sucky days, like everyone, like no one is exempt from that. But also it gives you hope, because everyone gets out of those sucky days and everyone gets out of those holes. And so it teaches you if you have the right mindset to learn. So shifting the perspective is absolutely number one. Go into it thinking that every day is going to suck. And when a day doesn't suck, it's awesome.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You guys teed each other up very nicely for something that was completely unplanned. I like Wade's suggestion of take action, do something, invest in yourself, and actually go do something to change it. And even better, I like the idea that you'll need to feel it financially a little bit. It's almost like, just like we say with our clients, Chris, like if you don't feel it financially, you're not going to do it. Followed up with Chris's suggestion of a change in perspective. It's a great step to take, is understanding that it's hard, it will suck, but you absolutely wouldn't have it any other way. So, guys, I think that's a great place to put a button in this for part one. Is everybody still cool to hang around for part two?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's do this. Yeah. This is fun. So, listeners, thanks for tuning in. Again, you can find Wade and Chris at the Attain Anything podcast, attainanything.com. They've got some great episodes up there. So listeners, go on to iTunes, leave us a review, let us know what you think. If you found this valuable, please share it with a friend, and we'll be back next week with part two of this conversation with Wade and Chris. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of 321 Go podcast. As a reminder, we will be increasing the price of our Hub platform. Hub is basically an online MBA in running a killer gym. So if you've been thinking about checking out Hub, just know the price will go up on May 1st. If you want to lock in our lower rate, go to 321goproject.com/hub. And as a bonus, you don't even need to pay for your first 7 days. You can cancel during those first 7 days if you just want to click around and see what it's all about. But if you start that free trial between now and May 1st, you will be locked in at a lifetime discounted rate. Again, 321goproject.com/hub. See what it's all about.